Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 4, texts 31 and 32, and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Brahmanya Shila Sampanaha. We don't have this? Okay. This Abbot? Brahmanya Shila Sampanaha Satya Shando Jitandriha Atmahat Sarva Bhutanam Mika Priya Shuritamaha. Dasavat Sanyat Aryangrihi. Dasavat Sanyat Aryangrihi. Pitravadina Vatsalaha. Viratrivat Sardishes Nigno. Gurush Vishvarya Bhavanaha. Vidyatarupa Janmadyo. Manastamba Vivarjitaha. Dasavat Sannatayangrihi. Pitravatina Vatsalaha. Patravatrishtaya Bhavanaha. Vidyatarupa Janmadyo. Manastamba Vivarjitaha. The qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herein. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmin, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the Supersoul, he was kind to every living entity and he was the best friend of everyone. To respectful persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother, and he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God-brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. So let's repeat this responsively. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmin, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the Supersoul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older God brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. These are some of the qualifications of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin because a Vaishnav has all the good qualities of a Brahman. Shamo damas tapasucham shantir arjabam evacha gyanam vijnanam astikam brahma karma subhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahman works, from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 42. These qualities are manifest in the body of a Vaishnav. Therefore, a perfect Vaishnav is also a perfect Brahman, as indicated here by the words, Brahmanya Shila Sampanaha. A Vaishnav is always determined to understand the absolute truth. And to understand the absolute truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possesses all of these qualities. A Vaishnav is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way. Dhira, dhira, jinapriyo. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnav must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position, atmavat. A Vaishnav should be like Paramatma, Ishvara, Sarvabhutanam, Rideshi, Arjantistati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahman, but he is also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a chandala, a Vaishnav never refuses to act for anyone's welfare. Therefore, a Vaishnav is always obedient to the spiritual master, Arya. The word Arya refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. One who is deficient in knowledge cannot be called Arya. At the present, however, the word Arya is used to refer to those who are godless. This is the unfortunate situation of Kali Yuga. The word Guru refers to the spiritual master who initiates his disciple into advancement in the science of Krishna, or Krishna consciousness, as stated by Srila Vishnubhav Chakravarti, Sri Bhagavan, Mantra Padasisek, Gurov, Iti Arhati. Translation. Once more, the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmin, having very good character, and be determined to understand the absolute truth. He was kind to every living entity, and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted just like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older god brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride, which may have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale. Starting here and throughout the next 12 verses, Srila Narad Muni describes the qualities of Srila Prahlad Maharaj. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that these qualities which Prahlad Maharaj possesses are the qualities of the Vaishnavas. In the next two purports, Prabhupada touches on it here, but in the next two purports, he makes clear that these qualities of the Vaishnavas are the qualities which can be acquired. He says in following two verses from this, he said, anyone can become a qualified Brahman under the direction of the spiritual master. So what we're examining here, what's being proposed, is that whilst Narad Muni is describing the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, he's a very, very exalted devotee, he's one of the Mahajans, he's an authority on Krishna consciousness, like an Acharya, very, very elevated person. So, obviously, he has wonderful qualities. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that these qualities are the qualities of a Brahman. And he touches on it and he elaborates in the next couple of purports that anyone, any man in the street, the person who drives by in the next taxi, going to work, this person can acquire the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, this wonderful, exalted devotee, under the direction of the spiritual master. This is what is proposed. This is what's discussed in this verse. This is an incredible proposition. In the world of marketing, there are so many products. In many categories of products, the product themselves are practically indistinguishable from each other. Photocopy paper. It's pretty generic, but to brand it, to sell it, extraordinary claims are made. On clinical examination, often these claims aren't met. In my country, we have consumer groups who publish magazines who just constantly examine which is the best of the bunch, which is the best camera lenses, which are the best vacuum cleaners, and so on. And they do a whole comparative tables coming up with which is best value for money. You see this in photography magazines, which is the best lens, is it this one, is it that one, and under so many different categories. So often the products are indistinguishable, and if we examine the actual claim of how fast is the new Intel processor, how many liters, kilometers per liter you actually get from this new vehicle, not the claims of the manufacturer. Skin cream, ladies' skin cream. Around the world, this is multi-billion dollar business. You put this cream on and it makes you look younger. In my country, they're much more strict, I think, possibly than other countries, about, I'm from UK, about actually, there has to be justification for the advertising. So as I read the billboards and I listen to the ads on the radio or so on, they say this cream makes your skin look younger. So they cannot say it does make it younger, because they say, the dermatologists, they say actually most of the damage to the skin happens in the first 8 years of a person's life. By the time the person's over, that's the face you're going to have when you're 40 years old. So they cannot change this. They cannot make a woman with sun damage, the ultraviolet, it damages your skin. You cannot reverse this. If it can be made reversible, this is a $100 billion industry. But so far it cannot be done. So, but there's many claims, and the new cream has a new claim, everyone runs out and buys it, and so on and so on. So the point I'm trying to make is that the claim which is made may not be what actually happens. So Prabhupada is proposing here that just as Narad Muni, just as Narad Muni is describing the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, anyone, they just have to be alive, they just have to have average intelligence, anyone can acquire these qualities under the tutelage of the spiritual master. So this is the claim that we are making for our product. So I just like to examine some of the facets of this claim. Spiritual life is all about inspiration. The jiva, pedaling along on his bicycle, lifetime to lifetime, at some point may have the great fortune to become inspired, to become spiritually inspired. The man or the woman who spiritually inspires this person has the recipient make a decision. become determined to try to uncover. They are trying to develop their spiritual nature. Actually, as we become a little more conversant with Krishna consciousness, we understand it's a process of uncovering our spiritual nature. So the jiva, he becomes inspired to try to uncover his spiritual nature. This is the process. When I was a boy, under my parents' care, early teens, as the brain develops, I started to think for myself, to have my own understanding of the world, of the material world. There were many influences which I had. And I can tell you, of 10, there were many, I can make a list of 10. I can tell you 10 books, poems, speeches, which just changed the way I saw the material world. One of the speeches was Nelson Mandela, when he was sentenced to 25 years in prison. He was sentenced to life. He served 25 years. And he did a tremendous speech about how he would... he was a lawyer. He was a trained lawyer. He was in the high court. He was up on terrorist charges. He was being tried for his life. The penalty was death. So he gave very eloquent... He spoke for 2.5 hours. Very eloquent. And he summed up by saying that we tried everything. You know, we were oppressed people. We tried everything. These are the principles that I've lived for. And he said, if necessary, my lords, there's 3 judges ready to hang him. He said, if necessary, my lords, these are the principles which I will die for. There's so many other things. The writings of George Orwell, Steinbeck, Tolkien, so many things. The poems of Lord Macaulay. These, my young mind, these changed the way I saw the material world. As an aspiring Vaishnav, there are many, 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 but I can say 10. I can give my top 10 of Vaishnavs who changed the way that I saw the spiritual world. One of the first, I don't think she's here, so I can say something. One of the first Vaishnavs who influenced me was Malati Mataji. I was a young boy, teenager, 17. I met the devotees and I was so, so impressed by Malati. She was such a Maharati, just so strong. She was like a warrior for Srila Prabhupada. But very gentle, very feminine, but such a woman. She had a young baby, and the three Grihastha couples came to London to establish Krishna consciousness. They found a place to stay. It was a warehouse, we can say it was a warehouse, in which there was a monthly magazine was stored. And she slept in a packing case. When we go to the railway station in the luggage van, going to car, you see the big things that they're rolling off, the big parcels. Well, if something is valuable, particularly metal, machinery and so on, they have like a wooden case to contain it, to give it some rigidity. She slept in that case with her little baby all through the winter in England. She had some blankets inside, she made a little room, she made it in the garage, in the basement of this. That's what she was prepared to do, to carry out the order of Srila Prabhupada. And so usually we have so many conditions. If we get a nice room, if it has a fan, if there's, you know, so we have so. First I'll make so much money, then I'll do this, then I'll. She came and slept in like a homeless person. Like if we go on the railway and we look out and we see all these homeless people, they have a makeshift shelter made of some pieces of wood and some pieces. This is what she did too, coming from a... So she's one of my great sources of inspiration. And I have so many others. Shamsundar, her husband, Trivikram Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, great source of inspiration for me.
And simple devotees, my friends in England, Shakshigopal, Ram, so many people who inspired me. Prabhupada said that, he said actually it's best to eat by oneself. To eat by oneself, we have a very nice arrangement here. I was just coming to Prabhuji. He speaks so nicely. So we can eat the proper amount. We can meditate on the prasad, get proper nutritional intake, and hear the lila of Srila Prabhupada. So we can almost say we are by ourselves. But Prabhupada says to eat, it's best to eat alone. He said to talk, two is the best number. With two people, we can have a meaningful exchange, a dialogue. He said, for walking, three is the best number. He said, then the person who lags behind, he is obliged to keep pace with the other two. He said, three is the best for walking. He said, for spiritual life, he said, the most number possible, this is the best number. Because from so many different devotees, we can see so many different qualities manifest. So many different qualities. My greatest joy is to actually meet devotees I have never seen before. To see the face of a Vaishnava and to watch as he articulates, to see his qualities manifest, what qualities he is acquiring. For me, this is beyond measure. The joy of this is... There were some young devotees from Italy this morning. I made my opportunity to speak to them to see how they're. It's wonderful for me, just meeting new devotees. When I was first in Mayapur many years ago, there were only four of us living there. We were four devotees in Mayapur on a half a biga of land, and since then there has been all over the world. There has been a Hare Krishna explosion. Everywhere, it's just manifest. I would like to see the mathematical formula for the way Hare Krishna has just manifest everywhere. So since that beginning, just every new face, every new wall, every new it's just wow, just absolutely amazing. And this has all been the potency of Srila Prabhupada. When I was first when we were building the Hyderabad temple in the early 70s, we had a traveling party of about eight of us, and we had a vehicle. We traveled all over Karnataka and Andhra doing programs and making life members to build the Hyderabad temple. We went for the first time to Udupi, and we requested them, can we do a program? They said, yes, of course. And in those days, there was the very first reel-to-reel cinema. Like a video, but before video was invented, it was a reel-to-reel, one of those 16mm projectors, 8mm, I think. And we hung up a bed sheet on a chadar, white chadar, and we showed it against the wall. And we were in the Udupi temple. So in Udupi, as you know, there are eight gurus who are the present acharyas coming from Madhvacharya. And at that time, the most prominent of these was Vidyaman Tirtha. And he, as well as training his young junior, he had been given the juniors of three of the other gurus to take in his charge for training. So he had four young juniors. And he was the most exalted person. He was very high, like high PhD in the Sanskrit language, for rhetoric, for logic. None of the Mayavadis, they would argue with him. And at that time in India, there was 650 million was the population. So if we say 250 million perhaps was in South India, because the Ganges basin is very densely populated, and the cities of Bombay and Calcutta, we can say 250 million. And if we say the Mayavadis, they have half of this, the Vaishnavs have, or a third, the Vaishnavs have two-thirds, so the Madhva Sampradaya, they have 60, 80, 100 million followers in maps out. So this man, he was the most prominent. He was like he was the most prominent guru. So any estimate how many followers he has? 20 million, 60 million, just big, a very, very prominent man. So we showed the video, showed the reel-to-reel. The lights went out, the very first, the Hare Krishna people. Prabhupada told Yadurat, Yadubar, who made this, he said, this preaching has done more than anyone. He said, there's more than any other person. This film is doing this preaching. Prabhupada liked it very much. It explained all our international activities and, you know, the philosophy, how Prabhupada had come from so many things. It's probably still available on DVD or something. So when the lights went back out, Vidyaman Tirtha, you must understand, very, very exalted person, very, very high guru in the Madhva Sampradaya. Very, very exalted person. When the lights went back on, he said, the subtle body, he said, is explained in the Ayurvedic Shastras that the subtle body extends 1 meter beyond the gross body. He said, in this sphere of influence, we are very, very careful who comes near us. Very careful. He said, the smarter Brahmins, he said, they will immediately bathe and do their archman cleansing if the shadow of a low-class person touches them, because it's the influence is too near. He said, we're very careful about who comes into our sphere of influence, especially for our children and especially for the young gurus. He says, this is why we only preach within our own communities. He said, if we would mix with the common people because of the qualities of Kali Yuga, he said, we would fall down. He said, so when we see the activities of Bhaktivedanta Swami, who, traveling around the world, not only is he not influenced by these low-class people, but on the contrary, he is making tens of thousands of people into Vaishnavas. He said, we do not understand what is the nature of this potency. Not in the books. It's not in the Shastras what Prabhupada was doing. Prabhupada had the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the lineage that we have. This is the product that we are having. It's at that time there were some various people, a famous person in South India, he would do little things and produce some vibhuti, some ash from the sacred fire. So one reporter, he challenged Prabhupada. He said, can you do this miracle? Can you do vibhuti? Prabhupada says, my miracle, he said, I am taking these degraded people from all over the world and making them into Brahmins. He said, this is my miracle. He said, not some ash. He said, what is the value of this ash? So here in this verse we see the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada is describing in the purport, these are the qualities of a Vaishnava, a Brahmin. And two purports are now, he said, anyone under the guidance of the spiritual master can attain these qualities. What we have to understand is that it's all the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the potency of the holy names. In the Kali Santran Upanishad, there is a dialogue between Naraji and Lord Brahma. And Narada is saying, he said, look, we can see the signs. Kali Yuga is coming. It will be very degraded time. Very. He can see. And being Trikalagya, looking a little into the future, Kali Yuga is rough, very bad time. He said, what can we do? How can we uphold Dharma? How can we uphold these principles? So there is a dialogue. We don't have time to go into the whole thing, but Lord Brahma is saying, yeah, it's some pious activities, center on God, center on you. So he, the dialogue goes on. And Narada is saying, but specifically what? He said, well, it's best thing for Kali Yuga people, they don't have the memory, the concentration. So best thing is to chant the names of God. He said, but which name? He said, any name. No, specifically. We the people, they're going to need help. And so he said, in Kali Yuga, the most efficacious way to counter the qualities of Kali, as we understand now, to re-establish our spiritual nature, he said, is the chanting of, he said, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, which Lord Chaitanya did publicly by Nam Kirtan. As Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So, this gives the devotee his potency. And the very next devotee who walks in the temple room, the very next devotee who passes by on their service, whoever it is, whomsoever it is, if I speak to that devotee, find out what is their activities, what is their service, what is their attitude, what is their level of renunciation, and so on. If I describe that, if I go back to my country, back to London, and I describe in a group of religious people, Christians, Muslims, Jews, whoever, if I describe the life of this devotee, they get up each morning and pray 2 hours before they eat. They teach their children. They won't eat food unless they bless it. They pray. They've stopped illicit activities, meat eating, so many things. They spend a great deal of their time coming to the church, doing so many. If I describe the activities of the next devotee who passes, whoever, I don't know who it's going to be, to a group of people anywhere in the world, they will say, oh my goodness, how can we meet this person? How can we learn? This person is a saintly person. How can we do this? Or, let's turn the whole thing around in its head. Practically speaking today, any of the religious leaders of any of these communities, they are not qualified to join our Bhakti program. They have to stop their nonsense before we're even going to consider them serious students. Even the highest delegates in their chain of command, they don't qualify. They don't follow the principles. They're not vegetarian. They're not. This is the potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When I was in Calcutta, I think it was 1973, Prabhupada was there, and one gentleman who knew Prabhupada, he came to tell Prabhupada that there was this one family, they do leelas, it's like we have the Ras leelas in Vrindavan. This family, they specialize in doing Chaitanya leela. And Prabhupada said, oh, he was excited. He said, I have seen before, they are very good. And so Prabhupada arranged to get tickets for the theater. And about 10 of us, we all went with Prabhupada to the theater. And we watched, and we were watching this. And up until then, Chaitanya Charitamrita wasn't published. But we had teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada would talk about Jagai and Madai. And there was some illustration. And it was a very... It was... Even today, I see... It's like a ballet. Like, there's people doing ballet. And very graceful. And very just about to hit with the pot, and it's a very, very graceful picture. But in the play, Jagai and Madai, they were very, very low class people. They were gruff and shouting. They would try to scare the women, so they had miscarriages. They would kill people. They were drunk. This was very, and Prabhupada, he was nodding and saying, yes, this is Jagai and Madai. Very, very low-class people. We cannot imagine. Not these graceful ballerinas that we sometimes see illustrated in our books. Very, very low-class. And what I was thinking, when I was looking, I was thinking we have a class of people, particularly in America, particularly in California, but all over the world. There's different chapters. They call themselves the Hell's Angels. And they have initiation rites. They have to bite the head off chickens and so many different, just really low class people, low class. And this is what I was thinking. Oh my goodness, these Jagai and Mada, they're very, 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 almost demons. But they purified them. Of course, then there is the great debate, which goes on throughout theology everywhere, to weigh justice against mercy. What is the most? Anyway, that's a different topic for a different day. But we can see that even the most fallen. So the qualification that we must have to qualify for this, Prabhupada said, he said, a devotee is someone who's determined that one day they will become determined to serve Krishna. He said, this is a Vaishnava. That we must just simply be determined to one day become determined. He said, this is a Vaishnava. This is all we need. So, the idea is that we have original spiritual forms in the spiritual world, but the consciousness is absent for the moment. Now, here in the material world, we're talking billions, we're talking eternity. Prabhupada says, practically speaking, we're eternally conditioned. But when we become liberated, we go back to our original consciousness, our original spiritual body, it's like we've never left. Krishna was just out of our vision for a second, as we blink. The gopis, they curse Lord Brahma that he made them with eyelashes. So just for that flicker of the Krishna's, and they have heart palpitations, they just begin to panic. So what is time? What is eternity? We cannot understand this because we are eternally conditioned until we become eternally liberated. But this is an illusion state. This is the dream within the dream. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it is possible, it is guaranteed. I've seen 3 letters from Prabhupada in which he writes to devotees personally. He said, you chant your 16 rounds, you follow the regulative principles. He said, you will see Krishna face to face. He said, this is guaranteed. So the process is simple, but we must apply it very wholeheartedly, very, very, and we can have this, the full advantages of this wonderful, wonderful product. The mechanism for this is that we can become inspired by super soul. From the point of goodness, the person comes in, there's some program, there's some purification. The goal is to get to the platform of goodness. On the platform of goodness, we can have direct access to Krishna through the mercy of the spiritual master. One time I was a young boy before I came to India. We were walking with Srila Prabhupada in St. James's Park, which is a big park next to Trafalgar Square. And as we were walking, there was about 6 of us, and Prabhupada stopped and he pointed with his cane. And there on the black tar, on the pathway, on the asphalt, there was a crack. And in this crack, there was a tiny piece of grass going. There were 3 tiny shoots, less than 1 centimeter tall. Prabhupada pointed with his stock. He pointed with his cane. He said, why is this growing? And the devotees, they were thinking Prabhupada was saying, how did the seed get there? Because it's a seed, it grows, you put water, how did it get there? So they said, well, maybe the gardener spilled it, maybe a bird dropped it with a piece of grass, he was building his nest, maybe it blew there, maybe, you know, they were trying to, Prabhupada said, no. He said, this is growing because the super soul, Paramatma, inside the seed, is saying to the jiva. And Prabhupada moved his hands, he moved his hands like outward. He said, the Paramatma is saying to the jiva, now it is time to grow. And the little plant just starts growing. So Prabhupada, he ridiculed this whole idea of instinct and animal instinct. How does the bird go to New Zealand? How does the fish go back to its, you know, its... And because of this, every time I see a National Geographic or something, oh, I get it out the library, I read, and there's such complicated theories about the Earth's magnetic waves, and so how this little bird gets lost in the storm, separate from the others, but flies 3,000 miles, stops on a little island for some food, how there's certain types of fish in the Scottish rivers, they jump up and they jump up the waterfalls, somewhere. They go right to the very spot, way 4,000 feet up, and right where they were born, so that they can have their eggs. So Prabhupada just ridiculed this whole idea of instinct. This is the agency of Supersoul. Another time, Prabhupada was speaking, and he was talking about the Christian saint, Saint Francis. He was an Italian, Saint Francis, of a place called Assisi. So St. Francis of Assisi, and he is depicted in paintings with a wild animal, a wild wolf. It's like a jackal. It's like a kind of lion type of animal, although the lion, of course, is a cat. So Prabhupada explained that St. Francis, because he was a pure devotee, Prabhupada said, the jiva, the super soul, inside the heart of the wild animal, is saying to the wild animal, he is your friend, he will not harm you. So this animal, which is very vicious, which is very... And we have the same with Lord Chaitanya, all the animals dancing, and because of the super soul. So super soul will direct us about what is correct, what is incorrect, what we should do, what we should... So that we can uncover our original consciousness. And to understand a simple example, it's like the electricity here. Actually, in Bihar, they are mining so much coal, they have big, big power stations generating kilowatts, 50 kilowatts, 200 kilowatts, 200. So this little 200 volts, this is nothing. It's not that we are connected Krishna is some kind of small Honda generator. No, we are all the electricity in the whole world. This is what we are accessing. This is a very, very amazing, very, very... And all of this is the Guru's grace. The jiva, he becomes inspired. But further than this, the Guru, he provides care and shelter. And here... In Radha Gopinath, we have a wonderful, wonderful example of the way that Srila Radhanath Maharaj has set up a situation just to give people shelter, just to give people care, whilst love and care, whilst they can slowly uncover their spiritual nature. The Guru, his grace, this is free from everyone, free for everyone, but because Prabhupada said that, he said, the jiva is so stubborn, he said he refuses to accept the mercy of Krishna. So the mercy is there. Prabhupada explains that, just like in London, we've got the contract for the Olympic Games 2012, as well as all the new stadiums and the hotels, they're also going to build new prisons and lock-up facilities. Because they know that there will be so many charsobese people amongst all the... They don't want this. They'd rather spend the money on education, on health, hospitals. But they know there's a certain element in the population that's miscreant. So Prabhupada says, just like when Krishna creates the whole spiritual world, he also creates the prison house, which is this material world. So this is for all these independent jivas who don't want to listen to the... So the grace of the Guru is that he gives us shelter. But because we are independent, because we are stubborn, Prabhupada says, they refuse to accept the mercy of Krishna. Refuse. They're just independently wanting. So Prabhupada, the Guru often has to try to trick the people and give some incentive to... So even outright trickery. When I was in Vrindavan, in the early days, we started to build the temple. We were sleeping in huts and just starting to build the temple. And there was one Baba. He was a Baba, Babaji, who lived just a few hundred yards, fortunately or unfortunately, from the Krishna Balaram temple. And one devotee, he met him and brought him to speak to Prabhupada. And he became famous with the devotees. His name was Bhagatji. They affectionately called him. His name was Vishvambar, but his affectionate name was Bhagatji. So Prabhupada would always try to get him involved, but he was very, very reluctant. He was lifelong brahmachari, and he had some difficulty. He had arthritis. He was overweight, and that probably didn't help. But he had arthritis in his knees, and he was stiff and only moved with difficulty. But when he would go into Vrindavan, he would chant 9 chapters, just from his memory, of Bhagavad Gita on the way in, and he would chant the other 9 chapters on the way back. He would chant, he would read, he was absorbed in his bhajan. Prabhupada wanted him to get involved in management. He was very reluctant. He was very, very reluctant. So one day, Prabhupada called for him, and Prabhupada was very serious, sitting behind his desk in his room, in that house he has. That was the first thing that we built, so Prabhupada could come and visit. And the floor wasn't finished, there was brick, and anyhow, he was sitting there, and he said to Bhagatji, he said, I have a great task to teach these Western people Krishna consciousness. He said, they are eager for it, but he said, they don't know anything. They are just so uncivilized, so uncouth. He said, everything I have to teach them. I have to teach them how to clean themselves, how to eat properly, how to cook, everything. He said, it's a very great task for me and so much work for me to do. He said, what can I do? He said, any civilized Indian gentleman would do the same thing, isn't it? And Bhagatji agreed, yes. He said, any person would do this. You see a young person, they're asking for help. He said, even you, if they ask for help, would you? Bhagatji said, yes. So bit by bit, Prabhupada got him to agree, just like an expert salesperson, on all of the different points he was making, and that it was imperative, and any gentleman would help, and Bhagatji would help. And just when he got him to this point, Prabhupada said, so, he said, you will also help? And Bhagatji said, yes. Prabhupada said, Brahmananda? He said, bring the paper. So there was a paper, and there was this whole paper that Bhagatji agreed to become the trustee of the international. It was all. He said, you count, I will sign, you count. And Bhagatji, he was. And then Prabhupada looked at him, and he looked at Prabhupada, well, what's going on here? And then Prabhupada just went through all the points he had made. It's a difficult task. I have the single-handed task. These people are needing help. He just went through all the points he made that Bhagatji had agreed to. And then Bhagatji just looked at him and he just started to laugh. Bhagatji, he said, okay, I surrender. And he became the trustee of the temple and looked after the... So like this. So even sometimes the spiritual master, he has to be... Because the jiva is just satisfied. There is a story of Lord Indra. He had to hide from the demigods. And he was hiding from the demons. He was hiding in the body of a pig. But then after some time, the devas, it's okay, you're safe now. No, I'm happy. I have my family. He was happy to be a pig. Just like we are happy with our little situations, with our little, we get a little money, or we get a job, or there's some guaranteed employment, or, you know, it's, so we are foolish. So the spiritual master, part of his function is to wake people up, jeev jago, wake them up from their foolishness. So, I was speaking in Vrindavan to one panda. His name is Patak, Mr. Patak. He died recently. And I came across him quite by chance in Vrindavan. And he was talking. He said, oh, you have been here for some time. And I said, yes, I came. And he was asking, he said, how was it? How did Vrindavan appear to you at that time when you first came? I said, sir, if I can be quite honest, I said, when I first came to Vrindavan, I said, The whole place was just in a serious state of disrepair.
He said it was. I said it was falling to pieces. The temples were crumbling. It just really was very, very seriously.
I said it looked like no one was spending a rupee anywhere on the place for maintenance. He said, Prabhu, he said it was worse than that. He said every rupee that was coming into Vrindavan, he said there was a scramble and people were grabbing it with both hands. He said it wasn't until Srila Prabhupada established such a wonderful standard of worship in the Krishna Balaram temple. He said he forced every single temple in Vrindavan to raise its standards. He is one of the, his family is the pandas for the Birla family. So they're very rich, very influential. He was the friend of Prabhupada, and when Prabhupada first came back to do his first program, Patukji was sitting on the dais with him. But he said that. He said Prabhupada forced everybody to raise their standard. So Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't concerned with the culture of Vrindavan. He's not concerned with Indian culture. His objective was to teach people the science of self-realization. This was his function. And this is very, very successful. All over the world, he is doing like this. And even anything can be done. It's Lord Chaitanya's desire. It's Krishna's desire. The agency of Super Soul is there. Simply what is missing is our enthusiasm. We have great, great reluctance. And we are very happy just to be satisfied, be comfortable. The goal for many people is just to take initiation. But initiation is the beginning of the process. This is the beginning of the process to get out of this material world. This is just the beginning. And anything is possible. One time in Vrindavan, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he felt there wasn't quite enough facility and things weren't quite working. He's a little impatient sometimes. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting, chanting, listening to him. He said, Lord Krishna, he could give you the whole of America tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Prabhupada said, you don't know how to deal. You don't know how to manage this resource. He said, simply use what you have in Krishna's service and anything. Another time in Bombay, I heard Giriraj Maharaj. Again, things weren't quite working to plan and he was a little despondent. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, he said, Krishna tests us in two ways. He said, he tests us by giving us nothing. He said, also he tests us by giving us everything. He said, when I was a young man, he said, Krishna gave me nothing. He said, this was Krishna's test. He said, now I am old man. He said, I have everything. He said, this is also Krishna's test. So it's just a question of us having the mentality, the gratitude, the appreciation to use what we have in Krishna's service. So it is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. The resources are unlimited. The material creation, every atom in the material creation is designed by Krishna to inspire us to go back to Godhead. And part of the mercy of the devotee is that he will want others to be inspired also. Because when we objectively see the suffering that people are bringing upon themselves simply by their great misconception, by their great eagerness to enjoy the material world. Prabhupada said that a jiva can try for millions of years. He said there is no enjoyment. It's not possible to enjoy here in this material world. It is not possible.
I will finish now. Let me say one last thing.
ISKCON is a village. There are so many villages. Each resident of Bombay has his own village. There are certain shops he goes to, certain restaurants he frequents, certain offices. He doesn't know every street. He knows a select. Taxiwalas, they know more than anybody, the different streets where they... But people live in their own village. ISKCON is a village. Each person in the village knows what the other village people are doing. When the vegetable person, what new vegetables are there, how much bread is made, who is marrying who is doing... It's a village. Everyone knows everyone else's business. All over the world, people know of this mandir, ISKCON Chaupati, Radha Gopinath. Everyone knows. The reputation here is outstanding. Your reputation for receiving people nicely, for having such a very, very high standard of relationships, personal relationships, helped along by the counseling system and so on. People are absolutely delighted. I had heard of this mandir many, many times. And I knew Radhanath for so many different years whilst he was still in America, even before he first came to India for the preaching work. I knew him since this time. And he's always been very kind to me, very kind to my family. And deliberately, I did not come here. Because I always felt that, and I do feel, and this is how I conduct myself, I feel that any resource of Srila Prabhupada, any resource of ISKCON, which is expended on me, even the smallest way, is just simply a waste of. There's so many more useful projects for any single resource, whether it's a chapati, whether it's a vehicle, whether anything. It's just, so I really cannot convince myself that any of ISKCON's resources should be expended by me. And in most places, this is not a problem. But here, you have such a wonderful reputation for hosting people so nicely and being... You know, I've seen you in evidence in Mayapur Festival, registering the people, and it's just you're in a class of your own. And because of this, I just never came here. I did not want to come. I did not want to avail myself. I've had an accident. I've hurt my knee. Krishna tricked me. Maharaj told me like this. He said, "No, you were tricked to come here." And I am most amazed, very grateful, great gratitude. My heart has been changed in so many different ways. I would like very, very much to come in future. I am probably the least of all my God brothers, all my God sisters. And so I have no capacity to do any worthwhile service. Any little thing I can do, I try to do with great love. And I hope that one day, by coming, by trying to render some little service, I hope that one day I will qualify myself to take the dust from your feet. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for encouraging me. Allow me to speak my simple realizations. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any comment? Any question? Hare Krishna, Radhika. Is there a microphone?
Hare Krishna.
Can you speak a little louder?
Hare Krishna. There's Geetavali Mataji. She comes here every day. And she's not well. And she's admitted at Tata Memorial Hospital. And she needs our prayers the most. She's undergoing a procedure between 9:30 and 11:30. So can we all please pray for her and chant her holy name? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any question, any comment? Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhe bhayeva cha patit pavan pavnebhyo vaishnavebho namo namaha.